Hey everybody, this is Cinema Vino. This is our podcast where we drink wine, talk about movies and nerdery and whatnot. And I'm Todd Wofford, and this is Travis Budd.
Travis McFucking goddamn Budd.
Mm-hmm. Damn Skippy. And so we've already had a little bit of wine, so just to kind of help, you know, grease the wheels, as it were.
To loosen up a bit earlier than we did on our last gig.
Yeah, it's like, I know neither of us have any experience with this, so we're just kind of trying to get comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
Be ourselves, you know.
My speech patterns are already impaired.
Well, it's like, I feel like once you get to know the real us, you're going to love us, and you're going to want us to move in with you. Ain't it so? That's just...
Nope.
No,
this is hard pass.
So, today we are drinking Salentin Malbec. That's our wine of choice.
Ooh, that sounds cool. Mike, too.
Mm-hmm. That's Salentin. That's going to retail for around, give or take, $20. Every market's different, but you're going to pay around that for it. And so it's a reasonable priced wine. Malbecs are going to be pretty, you know, earthy. This one's pretty dry, full bodied. It's got some kind of dark, you know, currant fruit to it. It's something you would do with a steak, a big meal. It's something that, you know, you could drink on its own. It'd be a really good, like, holiday season wine. It's cold out. It's something to warm you up. So,
I mean, where is our steak?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If you got a ribeye, it is perfect. So.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's red and it's wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are going to talk about the movie Venom, which we saw. And we're going to give you our thoughts on that. And my dog just came in. And so I'm going to let Travis give us a little overview, a little Reader's Digest version for those of you who may not know about the character of Venom, what the backstory is. So,
right. Trav. Todd, feel free to give me the muskrat Blythe Danner style from Meet the Fockers if I start getting too gray.
Yeah.
Basically, Venom was a prize thing to do to create your own villain. And people sent in several designs, and legend has it somebody, you know, they picked this one somewhat design and then tweaked it, and Marvel made it their own, and they made it. Basically, he became a stronger, meaner, more mouthier, toothier Spider-Man.
So he's part of Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery.
Yes.
And so for those who don't know what a rogues gallery is, it's like Batman probably has the most prominent rogues gallery.
Spider-Man's is pretty about it as well, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can name three or more of a superhero's, you know, villains, then that's a pretty adept rogues gallery.
Yeah, Dick Tracy has one.
Yeah, I mean, Superman's is probably just absolute dog shit.
And so, long story short, Venom is an arch nemesis of Spider-Man.
Yes.
A
little bit of an anti-hero, mm-hmm. too, later on.
I mean, yeah, they merge him a little bit more Deadpoolish or
mm-hmm.
make him a little murkier. So, movie-wise, Tom Hardy plays Eddie Brock / Venom. And so, give me your thoughts on the movie. What did you think?
So, I'm going to have to go back to the comics for 2 seconds. I liked the initial Venom when he showed up, because he was just Spider-Man, but a different skin, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have all the weird alien tendrils coming off him and popping out all over the place and doing this weird stuff. He just changed the color and tone of his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Other artists have made him more Hulk-like and huge and stuff like that, but the movie, the special effects are actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like they got Venom, you know, aesthetically. He looked great.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just kind of a dumpster fire. It was still entertaining, but man, you know, Tom Hardy had some weird choices. It could make a great cult movie, but Michelle Williams, not Michelle Wilde, with our track record of talking about porn, I discovered was a porn star when I was trying to mention it to somebody else. I was like, oh, no, Michelle Williams, that's mm-hmm. it.
Dawson's Creek.
Yes. I know she's a good actress. Mm-hmm. I've seen her. She has forgotten in this movie, or she just phoned it in.
Yeah.
Oh, it is rough.
Yeah.
That's what you kind of were thinking as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I remember the Michael Caine quote of, like, I never saw Jaws 4, but I saw the lake house it bought me.
Yes.
You know, and you have to keep that in mind sometimes. It's like, I remember Paul McCartney saying that he and John Lennon, sometimes when they would write a song, they would think of it in terms of, like, we just wrote ourselves a houseboat. We just wrote ourselves a, you know, a sports car. You know, sometimes it's a business. And I think sometimes people approach it, or at least you get the feeling that they've approached it like a business, like it's just work.
Yeah.
I got that a lot in this movie, that people were just, you know, making money.
You know what I just thought of is that Michelle Williams and her role as the love interest kind of plays almost a little bit, Venom to me, tonally, is a little bit Deadpool, a little bit Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that, they try and add in the family, not the family dynamic, but it almost has a little bit of that, you know, the love interest, she finds a different love interest that is not Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they throw you for a loop in that he's not an asshole. Like, he's actually pretty an okay guy, which is kind of like what they did in the Ant-Man movie. His wife goes on to marry somebody else, and that guy, pretty cool dude. Mm-hmm. But they also have the slapstick off the wall, and yes, I will violently kill other bad guys and bite their heads off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird... I thought the action scenes were weirdly staged. It was like, I got like a weird Blues Brothers vibe from all the slow-motion car crashes.
Oh, Jesus.
It was just like, what the hell's going on here, you know? It was like, this is like Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Mm-hmm.
Watching all these, like, you know, slow-motion, poorly edited action scenes. I thought Tom Hardy's accent was weird.
And you also said not quite consistent.
Yes, it was just... It is bizarre.
I don't think he watched enough of his own dailies.
I don't get how you can do a villain-centric movie without... it's missing half the story. I think it's like, I don't get how you can make... I mean, maybe it'll be great. Maybe I'll be wrong. The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, where it's just the Joker. I don't know how you do the Joker without Batman.
Man, well, Joker, unlike Venom, has a lot more to pull from. It can be done, but I mean, even in this film with Joaquin Phoenix, I'm sure Batman will show up at some point, because he basically blames Batman for making him the way he is.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's going to be something Batman-centric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might be a tiny, just little cameo, but Venom, though, he's a character that's... In my mind, now I haven't read comics consistently since like 2010, 11. I think for those reading at home, the Siege was the last big story arc I read from Marvel. And I still collect, but I am so far behind. But yeah, that Venom is kind of... They spun him off and did Venom the Lethal Protector, because typically the only thing he hates is Spider-Man. And when he was somehow able to come to an accord or whatever, they made a pact, and he was like, I won't come after you, you won't come after me, I'm going to leave New York. And he goes to San Francisco, like he does in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man does end up coming to check up on him, because he's like, hey, I heard you're like beating up cops. And he was like, well, those weren't actually cops, they were... You know, these are actually bad guys, or it's a front or something. And
yeah.
Also, how dare you come after me? But mm-hmm. This, so the movie took a lot from Venom the Lethal Protector, but it also did what I am kind of hating in movies now, as the character's first villain is exactly like the character itself. It's like the dark version.
It's of the him. Evil Spock.
Yeah, I mean, Venom is the dark, evil Spider-Man, and the dark, evil Spider-Man in his first movie had an even darker, more evil Spider-Man to fight. It's
like a General Zod,
yeah,
is the evil Kryptonian fighting Superman, Man of Steel.
Yeah, which was great back in the day, and back in 79,
mm-hmm. where which it was like Superman 2.
Yes, Electric Boogaloo.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually showed up in Superman 1, too.
Mm-hmm.
1 also. But mm-hmm. But yeah, that at the time, like I said, Superman's rogues gallery is kind of dog shit. I mean, you got Lex Luthor, and you got Brainiac, and you got Doomsday, you got Bizarro, Parasite, Metallo, but and Darkseid. But a lot of those are just, you know, giant event villains that the Justice League has to fight, and nothing for interesting for Superman 101 to do. But like, step one, punch real hard. Step two, repeat step one.
Mm-hmm. Monotonous.
Yeah.
So I've compiled a list here. I'll have Travis read it off for you. Basically, we're going to pick, like, what would you rather do than watch Venom again? Because, I mean, I despised the movie more than you did, I think. I hated it.
Yeah. Well, there's one other one that you wrote down that you didn't put on here, and I'm going to add.
Do it.
Because I think it's golden. All right.
Would you rather?
Yeah, this is would you rather. Watch Venom again, and or watch someone paint primer on the walls of their garage for 2 hours. Would you rather watch snow fall and melt on live TV for 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Watch an angry couple fight over their taxes for 2 hours. Watch a spelling bee in a language that you don't speak for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Or watch med students attempt to put in catheters for 2 hours.
That was the one I cut out because I wasn't sure. That's like that's a little bit.
Catheters are always funny.
Mm-hmm. Touché. What would you rather do than watch Venom again?
This was kind of an easy choice. I would rather watch Snowfall and melt on live TV.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I love the moment in nature on CBS Sunday morning. I live for that shit.
Mm-hmm. It's soothing, mm-hmm. I think. I would honestly rather do any of those things. I think the couple fighting over the taxes would be outstanding.
That's a long 2 hour fight. Is that like a slow build? Or
they've got a
like
lot of deductions.
Ebbs and flows.
I mean, I think it would come and go. I think it would be a rotating fight, but I think that there would be a lot of deductions. There'd be a lot of stuff that they're claiming a lot of dependents they shouldn't. Mm. I think the husband's probably committing fraud.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, good luck getting that past an audit, Steve. You know.
Hey, are we given spoilers on Venom, or is this basically we're thinking that the listener you have to have at least one joke making fun of your listening base.
Sorry about that, Steve.
Are we given there's some after credits scenes,
which I thought were blah too.
Yeah.
I would say approach it like people are going to ignore our brilliant sage advice and go see it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, there's one part of the after credits scene that isn't a spoiler at all, but they show a clip for the new animated Spider-Man movie Into the Spider-Verse,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, doesn't look half bad. I don't know if I'd go see it in theaters.
Doesn't look half good either.
It made me long, though, for the times when they used to show a cartoon before a movie. I was like, that's mm-hmm. the time you want to do it. Show a little teaser, a little, you know, get the juices flowing, warm mm-hmm. people up.
Yeah.
But then there was an actual mid-credits scene. You don't have to stay all the way through the credits, by the way. We did, and you don't.
No.
You're welcome.
No.
But there is another little scene in it that has another character in it that I think, from reading the comics, was very well cast. I would never have put that actor in that role. But it that one tiny little thing kind of makes me excited. Excited is too strong a word. But interested to see the sequel.
It moves the needle a little bit.
Mm.
It was... Basically, I would say, you know, part of the fun of going to a movie is the discovery of, like, you know, you get to experience it for yourself. Going to this movie would be like the discovery of, like, what's that smell in my hamper? You get to discover what clothing is causing that to emanate from your hamper. That is going to this movie. So discover it at your own risk.
Yeah.
I would say skip it at all costs. But do what you want. It's your money. You work for it. Do as you will.
I would say watch it on your parents' HBO Go
mm-hmm.
after it comes out there. Just, you know, while you're waiting on Game of Thrones, just sling that on and give it a look-see.
They have
fast forward through the boring parts,
which will be a lot of it.
I would like, if you could, to talk about the villain of Venom for a minute.
To me, it's like I said in my review, it's like, you know, it used to be back in the day that all the way back to the beginning of movies, villains were like, you know, cattle barons, oil barons, old guys. You know, I picture big old beer bellies, handlebar mustaches, just, you know, bad guys who've been bad long enough to be comfortable with being that the way they are. You know, they're just, they sit behind some desk somewhere. You know, I picture they've got, like, you know, the classic, you know, heads mounted on the wall, that, you know, bearskin rug.
Knowledge of cigars.
Mm-hmm. They're intimidating. Now it's like they're all Zuckerberg types. They're all the young, post-collegiate, like, Ivy League tech billionaires. Those are the new villains.
Jesse Eisenberg, Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. Gag me with a spoon.
And that's the same guy we got here. We got Riz Ahmed, who was in The Night Of. He was really good. And, you know, great actor. But, you know, cast as a 20-something billionaire, you know, tech guy. And so it's like, man. And his name is Carlton Drake, which is... Again, just lazy writing. It's like, I don't remember what Joey's soap opera guy was on Friends, but it sounds like, you know, Dr. Carlton Drake or whatever. So I came up with a naming system for these, how they can come up with names for tech billionaires in these movies. Basically, you get, like, a first name is, like, a generic fraternity house rush chair-like guy. And then your last name is the name of a traditional college basketball powerhouse. So, Travis, if you read off, we got some first names selected.
For the first names, we have Sebastian, we have Tucker, we have Evan, we have Brooks.
Okay. And now for the last name for a college, like traditional powerhouses, what do we have for last names?
St. John, Drake, Marquette, or is that Marquetta?
It's Marquette.
Okay, Marquette. And Creighton.
Mm-hmm. So, what would you pick for your 25-year-old, you know, worth $10 billion, and he is out to get, I'm thinking Daredevil. Who is your bad guy?
I like the super short name, like just the Tucker Drake. I like the alliteration there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that alliteration if it's in the middle of a word? Whatever. Tucker Drake.
Tucker Drake. It works well. You know, he wears bow ties.
Mm-hmm.
He drinks PBR.
Yep.
And he is out to hack the brainwaves of everyone on Earth.
And his personal weapon that he keeps on him at all times, paddle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But yeah, he develops a smartphone app that helps him take over the world.
You had a pretty good one. You chose the longer names.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking maybe like Evan St. John. Mm-hmm. Or Sebastian Marquette.
That's the one I liked, Sebastian Marquette.
Yeah, those are both solid, like, villain names.
Privileged, needs so many letters in his name.
Mm-hmm. Rides his bike. Ooh.
What if Marquette is the middle name? What if it's Sebastian Marquette St. John?
That works. Yeah, he rides his bike to work
that
every day.
That guy fucks.
Mm-hmm. Lives in a loft apartment. But, yeah, just hip, ironic tech billionaires.
Yeah.
That's when they don't have anybody they can put in a movie to be the villain. It's like, yeah, we're going to have Mark Zuckerberg be the villain.
Oh, I also wanted to interject in here. We talked about Joaquin Phoenix hopping on to the Joker role again. But also in the same Sony universe, Spider-Man universe, word around the campfire is we got Jared Leto, or Leto, whatever,
mm-hmm.
playing Morbius the Living Vampire in the same kind of world. He's also back in the comic books, they couldn't have vampires and zombies and all this other shit. So they got around that by having this guy that's essentially, think of it, he's like bitten by a radioactive bat.
Hmm.
Not radioactive, but he did something to the bat while trying to cure himself from some weird disease. It bit him, and now he's like, oh, I've taken on the bat characteristics. So we use Morbius the Living Vampire is how they got around it.
Ego the Living Planet.
Exactly. So we got Jared Leto hopping universes over into Marvel adjacent universe of Sony for a while. They're going to try and squeeze the juice out of this lemon before Marvel takes Spider-Man back entirely.
Mm-hmm. Which is for the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Spider-Man Homecoming was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I've also heard in the news today was the fact that James Gunn might be on to direct Suicide Squad 2, write and direct, since he was unceremoniously let go from Marvel mm-hmm. for some bullshit.
Yeah.
Stupid tweets back in the day, mm-hmm. trying to be an edgelord.
Yeah. So, okay, here's a question. Going into Venom, did you feel like, I mean, I thought the trailers looked horrible for it. Yep. Did that color your opinion of the movie before you went in? Does a bad trailer make you prejudiced against a movie before you see it?
A little bit. I went in not expecting much. I mean, they showed a little bit of the fight at the end between the two symbiote guys, and it just, like, you couldn't tell who was who or what was exactly happening. You're like, well, I guess it's pretty to see two oil slicks fighting each other, but that's, you know, I don't know if I would pay money to see it. Mm-hmm. The part that really got me was during your Blues Brothers mashup of crashes and all that stuff, was mainly Tom Hardy, like, gesturing at things and having a pseudopod of, like, ink pop out and, like, punch people or knock them down or, you know, throw them across wall. Like, the piece de resistance was him, like, doing a wicked mad jump on this motorcycle he had, mm-hmm. which then fell away from him, and he was like, uh-oh, I really would like to have that motorcycle back under me right now. I had seen it in the trailers, and I was like, if it's just him conveniently reaching for things that are like 10 to 15 feet away and bringing them to himself, no thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want that power. I'm fat as shit. I would like to go get myself a beer that I had forgot to grab before I sat in a chair.
Yeah.
But, like, him reaching out from his chest to grab the handles of a bike to get it back under him, like, that's his Venom power. That's how his... Yeah.
It's a bad look, visually.
It just, yeah. And it's an excuse to have the actor and his face more prevalent in more of the film. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
I just don't fucking like it. Mm-hmm. Like Tobey Maguire getting his mask taken off every single time. So you'd be like, that's definitely Tobey Maguire mm-hmm. in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I get why they do that, but I still fucking hate it.
Yeah. So, scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it?
I think I gave it a 4.5. It was not, and we usually do this, essentially think of on a scale of, you know, 1 to 5 stars. So I basically gave it 2 and a quarter stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially that was, didn't exactly fill my rice bowl.
It was rough. It was a rough movie to sit through.
Yeah, I mean, it was, parts of it were so bad it was comical, which is, somebody else has said that, you know, it could be a great cult classic. Everybody else thought they were in somewhat serious movie. Tom Hardy thought he was in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, which it was closer to the truth. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like, it reminded me of the scene in Dark Knight where Joker takes like the pile of money and sets it on fire. It was like watching that for 2 hours. It was like watching hundreds of millions of dollars get burned in front
yeah,
of
me. Yeah, yeah. I was astounded by, you and I both had, I audibly gasped or said, I made a sound mm-hmm. with my vocal cords, indicated some bullshit. Michelle Wilde. Nope. Porn Michelle. Star. Michelle Williams. Guys, go on over to Pornhub after this and look up Michelle Wilde. Mm-hmm. I think she's 80s, 90s porn. Anyway, mm-hmm. I digress. Michelle Williams, Dawson's Creek. Don't look that one up.
Yeah.
Where she had... went back to Eddie's apartment and something happened and there were all these police cars. She was, Eddie, where are you? I don't, like, the fact that these movies cost so much to make and go through so many hands and so many eyes to, somebody wrote that in the script. Somebody, you know, finished up the screenplay. They're like, it's been through a few drafts. Mm-hmm. We still like it. Then that line... which, not a terrible line, it just didn't... The character's inner monologue is just said out loud to no one mm-hmm. at all. But they went, they filmed it, they were like, yeah, this is good. And then, I don't know how many takes they did, but whichever take they chose, I was like, that was, there was about 8 mistakes from script to screen right there. And they made all of them.
It's like how they say murderers at the scene of a crime make 10 mistakes. It's like, there's about 10 mistakes per scene here. Every, you could pause, count the mistakes.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, yeah. It's, no. And, oh, I did love, so when the first Venom trailer came out, they picked apart Jenny Slate's character, kept referring to the symbiotes, which the pronunciation of symbiotes, I don't know if that is 100% correct, but it definitely was used all the time in any animated Spider-Man film or cartoon when they're talking about Venom and the symbiotes. And the trailer was nothing but symbiotes, symbiotes this, symbiotes that. And in the film I watched for this, they overdubbed or changed every time she said symbiotes, changed it back to symbiotes. So I do think it's funny and hilarious, but I do appreciate the course correct, even however minor, that they try to appease the fans with. So like you were saying, like trailers, if it makes or breaks it for you, the Aquaman extended trailer recently came out. Like, do you have any thoughts? Like, is that going to...
I've been burned by DC too many times. I'm not sure. It's hard for me to really give them any benefit of the doubt.
Now, what about with Venom? When you saw that, with you being one of the uninitiated, what did you think?
I thought it looked terrible, but I try to always never go in judging it. It's like, because, you know, I didn't think A Star Is Born looked that good from the previews, but then I went and saw it, and I was like, this is actually a very good movie. So it turned me around. I try to at least keep an open mind, keep a pliant mind when it comes to seeing stuff like that.
What do you think is the shittiest movie I've tried to, like, drag you to that's, you know, comic book related or something and been like, yeah, we should definitely check this out. It's going to be great. And that you just thought was, like, dog shit.
I don't know what we've seen together that was that bad, because usually you and I can vet movies individually before we take them to the other person. I'm trying to think of what we would have seen in
the... Maybe we saw it together, like, for the first time, but, well, maybe Venom.
Venom is toward the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst superhero movies I've seen. So, it was a waste of money and time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, but I'm, you know, Tom Hardy, I think, stick with it. Give him a chance with better material. Go the Ryan Reynolds Deadpool route.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're making a sequel because this one made some October dollars, I guess, even with the bad word mouth. I saw people online that really liked it, and I was kind of flabbergasted. I was,
you know, hey, the greatest selling album of all time is the Eagles' Greatest Hits.
Yeah. So greatest band ever.
It's like, to each their own. You know, I mean, it's like, at one point, the number one selling wine in the United States by volume was Franzia. Live your life. You know, do what you do. But, anyway. So there's our first, you know, there's our podcast. You know, take with it what you will. We hope you enjoyed it. Next time, we will be discussing the Star Wars franchise. Drinking some vino, breaking that down. I think Travis and I agree to disagree about Star Wars Episode 8. I think it has its merit. I understand the people that don't, but we're going to have a lively discussion, and we're going to drink a lot of wine. So,
I have several questions for you.
Yeah, you got questions, I've got answers. I'm like Radio Shack. Rest in peace.
Have we worked up a sign-off?
I think we're still working on it, and to our one listener out there, Steve, if you could help us with that, just give us some advice.
Oh, dang it. Hold on. What's the other thing you should do on a podcast? One, make fun of how small your fan base is. And what is the second one? Did I forget it already? You always have to do it once per episode. Well, I guess this episode failed. So,
yeah.
We'll revisit it at a later date.
Well, you know, you go back to the old NASA footage of them trying to get rockets to space. I mean, they had at least a dozen of those blow up on the launch pad, so that's how it goes. Yeah. You go back to the early days of flight, there's always that footage of the guy with feathers glued to his arms trying to flap his arms.
Thank you for saving this podcast, Todd, because you, during that, I just remember what the other one is. We have to ask somebody to sponsor us.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Winston Cigarettes, that's the way to go.
Guys, please sponsor us.
I really want a cigarette company to sponsor us. That way, I want to get like the 3 out of 4 doctors recommend, like the cool flavor kick of Winston Cigarettes. I want that. I want to have like some like just absolute cancer merchant sponsoring us, you know.
Todd, I'm going to need a sign off from you in 5, 4, 3, 2.
We hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope that you will tune in next time, and we will see you then. That's not good. That's not a good sign off, but we're going to work on it. So
workshop.
Yeah, we're going to have a conference about that, but we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.